Bobrovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, and here we are, Monday, July the 3rd. The weekend, the 4th of July weekend, is in progress. Is everyone being safe out there? You guys having a good time? Well, good. We are we're on duty here at Sam Nation. And I, you know, I want to get into today and tomorrow. I want to talk about this country. And I want to talk about this country and what it means to me. And I think I want to start with the story that hit late last week. We didn't get to it here because other pressing things were fast moving. And so it didn't get covered, but I do want to talk about it. San Francisco, one of my favorite places. Actually, I mean that seriously. I'm not just joking. It's really a beautiful city. One of the great cities in America, in my opinion, best climate of any large city in America. And where do you find that kind of topography and beauty and architecture and just and nature? And where do you find such liberal stupidity? That's another thing. I mean, it's all just wedged in there, artfully, if you will. So there's this guy in San Francisco. He's actually from El Salvador originally. His name is Pedro Figueroa Zarcano. And he's 33 years old, and he's a construction worker. And at some point, he has happened to him something that happens to everybody or in some form, shape, or form when you live in a major city. His car gets stolen. It's a rite of passage. So his car gets stolen, and about 2 weeks later, the police retrieve his car. They find his car. And when they do, they call him to the police station. So he goes to the police station. He says, "Well, yeah, I'm here to pick up my car." And at that point, the police hold him and turn him over to ICE. They turn him over to the immigration police, Immigration Customs Enforcement, and there they are. The guy gets an immigration hold on him, goes into a cell. And it's all because, well, he is, admittedly, in the country illegally. And you'd think he gets released. He basically is challenging right now his deportation. And there's a court case pending. But while that is going on, what do you think he does? I mean, you think at this point, you know, you've somehow managed to hire the right lawyer. You've got your immigration order stayed. Your deportation order stayed, and you're working through everything. You think, hey, all right, I am going to go home. I'm going to get myself nice and ready, and tomorrow I'm gonna go get my job back, if possible, and I am going to be a model human being, because I want to demonstrate to the judge, to the immigration judge, that I'm the guy that deserves to stay here. But that is not what he does. Instead, he hires a lawyer from some nonprofit group in San Francisco. And they sue the city of San Francisco for violating the city's sanctuary city policy. That's right. Now, if you think that lawsuit is bogus, you're wrong. Because he won. Well, the city caved. The city agreed to pay him. How much do you think they agreed to pay him? Any idea? $190,000 for violating his civil rights. Okay. Now, before we even get in beyond it, I know you're saying San Francisco, everything crazy happens there. And it's true. Cities... First, the law. Let's talk about that. They do have this law on the books. So the city, in theory, the police You know, they're between a rock and a hard place. They've got to follow. There's federal law, which is supreme. And then there's local law, and they've got this local law, and there's a conflict. And the city arguably has a duty. The police force, they're employees of the city. They have a duty to follow the law. So this guy, this plaintiff here, actually has a viable case, I think. Unbelievably. And that's what's so crazy about these. All the cities out there that are setting themselves up as sanctuary cities, they're actually providing a wormhole, if you will, an opening through which illegal immigrants can sue these cities and take taxpayer money from them for any violations that city has of its own ordinance. Now, I think this is what the politicians on the left want. And I think that this, you have to look at something like this and say, where does this fit in the country that we love? Where does this make sense? Under what circumstances? My take on it is it doesn't. You know, I understand that people want to be in this country. I get it. And on the 4th of July, tomorrow, big holiday, we celebrate the birth of our country. And so in that, it's more than just a barbecue. We're all going to be out there. We're going to be getting together with our friends and family. But you see a sea of American flags. And these flags all mean, I promise you this, they mean different things to different people. Some of us, like me, we were born here. Some people, like my parents, weren't and sacrificed tremendously to come here. But, you know, I don't know of a single country out there that doesn't have laws respecting immigration and where the absolute expectation is that you follow those laws. And it mystifies me. You know, people right now will say, well, you know, if you are anti-illegal immigrant, and by the way, they don't even frame it that way. The left frames it that you're anti-immigrant, which angers me profoundly. That always sets me off because, gosh, I will talk about my parents' story tomorrow. I will get into it tomorrow because I think from time to time I share it, and I know intimately through them what a tremendous challenge it was to come to this country and to do it legally. They didn't have an in. They didn't have, you know, friends here already. They didn't have family here. They weren't particularly close. You know, they had to cross an ocean and you know, it was not a simple, straightforward deal by any stretch of the imagination. But when you look at the, you know, our friends and politicians on the left, they don't want any line between illegal and legal immigration. And to all of the legal immigrants out there, to all the those that have done it right, who have had the dream, who have pursued it tenaciously, who have sought it out, and then who after years, many cases years, have succeeded. The notion of excused illegal immigration is totally offensive. It is an affront. And for 8 years, you know, the Obama administration, for 8 years, I mean, we basically allowed illegal immigration. I mean, Obama deported a lot of people, but the implication through relaxed policy and relaxed rhetoric was, come here. You won't be sent back. Come here. Bring your children. Do it however you do it. We're working on an amnesty, and you saw it. There's a floodgate of immigrants that came into this country. And they did it unlawfully. It is part of a greater strategy. I know this. You know, and I hear, you know, again, with an ear to the ground in the political world, the way it's sold is it's humanitarian. I saw a tweet, again, I think last week or the week before from Piers Morgan, the BBC commentator, formerly of CNN. And Piers Morgan, you know, he is sometimes he is dead right and sometimes dead wrong. And here he tweeted something to the effect of, I wish we could, and he's a Brit, so he's speaking for England. I wish we could deport some white racists so we can make room for more needy refugees. And it isn't, well, yes, you don't want the people that disagree with you, right? You don't want the white racists that he's talking about are the people, are the Brexiteers, are the people that want an independent England, that want to perhaps restrict immigration a little bit and give the country some time to breathe. Now, we're a different animal here in the U.S. We are a country that doesn't have, I would say, the same type of distinct cultural identity. We don't. I mean, we are a melting pot. We have people here from all over. We've got the Irish, the French, the Germans. We've got Hispanics of all types, sizes, and colors. We have redheaded Hispanics. We have blonde Hispanics. We've got dark-haired Hispanics. It's just, this is who we are. We're America. Got people like my parents who are Czechs, Russians, Poles, Italians. We even have a few Canadians. But we have got to get real about seeing who comes through the door. There has to be a door, and we have to know who comes through it. You remember Ellis Island, and this is a big part of the 4th of July holiday. I always reflect on Ellis Island and the immense sacrifices that immigrants made in the 1800s to get here. The 19th century was a brutal time to come to America. But there were fixed periods of time when immigration was allowed. Legal immigration was allowed on a large scale. But these people, these are your grandparents. These are your great grandparents. The people that came through during this time, they were. Why do you think they were checking them for diseases? Why do you think they were doing interviews with them when they landed? Why do you think? Why did all of that? We'll call it sorting or interviewing or vetting. Dare we use that word? Why do you think that occurred? It occurred specifically because it was for the necessity of knowing who was here, and we reserved the right to reject people. We didn't want disease. We didn't want people who wanted to harm us. We wanted people who desired to assimilate. And that was the key. There is nothing wrong or nothing backwards about a country wanting only the best and the brightest, only the strongest, and having the right to refuse people who show up and to send them back. And that's why you have legal immigration. That's why you have a system. That's why there are applications and paperwork. That's why we have, that's one of the reasons why we have embassies all over the world that cost you and me an obscene amount of money, right? And the irony, of course, is when you look at Mexico, their consulates and embassies here in California, all the different consulates, the Mexican consulates, here largely to serve a vast network of illegal immigrants. And it suits the Mexican economy just fine, because why? Those are people that are then taking Western Union and other, you know, straightforward, simple means of sending money back to Mexico. I was just there. I saw this is it's a classic thing. You know this. And that is going just right out the door, right back out of the country. Now, there is nothing wrong, in my opinion, with getting back to the basics of legal immigration. We want to be able to pick who's here. We want people who want the American dream. We want people who don't intend to harm us. We want people who are educated. We want, if we only have room for X amount of people, Don't we want that X amount of people to be the best that we can get? This is not the same thing as being anti-immigrant. But today, this 4th of July weekend, we want people who love this country. And it's okay to ask that. And so this is something I want to talk about today. All right. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Maybe you disagree, maybe you don't. But let's have some fun. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
You know, it's not a surprise that immigration was such a top issue during the campaign. In 2016, it was one of the top five issues that really the voters wanted and they cared about. And it's because it was such a neglected issue. The media, together with the left, has always been able to make immigration a hot potato. If you're anti-immigrant, if you think that there should be some restriction on immigration, by implication, you are a racist. It's not because you're against immigration. I mean, what good person could be against immigration? You don't like people of color. And that is how Republican after Republican that comes along and says, yeah, I don't think immigration was that. And they get cowed. The media comes along and says, you racist, which is how they like to end pretty much every conversation. And the Republican tucks his tail under his legs and goes running off. Or more commonly, I will say this. Republicans run on a tough platform against immigration because they know it speaks to their base. And frankly, I think it speaks to more than their base. And we found that out in 2016. A lot of people came to the voting booths that had been absent for a long time because they'd been lied to so many times on this issue. They had voted for Republicans in the past, maybe even given money to Republicans in the past. And they'd been promised that they would be what? Tough on immigration. Then the Republicans would get in office and in would come big business in the Chamber of Commerce. Oh, it's counterintuitive. You think corporations want less or more immigration? More. Yes, of course. More, as many as possible. And why is that? This is the great lie. This is the Democratic Party has been lying to you, all of you. All of you good blue-collar people out there working tough jobs, maybe two jobs, and you vote Democratic because why? They care about you right there. They're not the Republicans. They're the party of the rich. So the irony is, yeah, the Republicans might be the party of the rich corporations. Fine, even though I think the Democrats are too. But think about this. When it comes to immigration, what do big companies, they want more immigration and why? Because the more there are of you competing for that $15, $16, $18 an hour job, what happens to the wage? It goes down. If company X needs, I don't know, has 1,000 positions open, and there are 5,000 takers for those 1,000 positions. If I own that company, I'm running that company, then what? I have that many more applicants to choose from, and I can play hardball. Straight simple math. And immigration does that. It floods the marketplace with cheap labor. And so every election, I have this type of conversation with someone. Well, how much are you really willing to pay for your strawberries? This is from liberals. How offensive. Producer Robbie's shaking his head. Okay, am I right? Isn't it the most fantastically offensive thing you've ever heard? But how many times have you heard that argument? All the time. And then you, maybe you're voting for the big D every time, you know, every 4 years or even more often. And you're patting yourself on the back. You're going, yeah, I'm voting for the party that cares for the little guy. But they're opening the floodgates because their party ideology is mostly, you know, hey, we bring over these immigrants and they're going to vote for us. These people are going to come over here and are going to come from Mexico and we're going to co-opt them. We're going to turn them into our voters. And we're going to get them to vote in the election. We'll get into that here after the break, too. Because a big part of this is votes. And to what degree these votes play a role in elections. Can they sway an election? Absolutely. And oh, by the way, guess which states don't want to play ball with Trump's investigation into voter fraud? We'll get into that, too. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Live, Talk Radio 790 KBC. This is Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, deep behind the orange curtain from our now famous Sweet James Studios. Yes, July the 3rd. Happy 4th of July weekend. Tomorrow, just a little programming note. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk to you about my parents' story, their immigration story, and my role in it, the little role that I do play. And celebrate the 4th of July with you, and I'll do that tomorrow night at 7. Usual time, usual hour, but perhaps a little different content than is our usual nightly norm. Now, tonight, talking about immigration, because I think this plays into it. The American dream is a brand that the whole world wants a little bit of. You know, we're told, oh, we're the 800-pound gorilla and everybody hates us. You know, they fear us and we mess things up and we do things wrong in the world. And for 8 years, Obama told us about how badly we should feel about all of our past missteps and sins. And I'm going to tell you, wherever I go in the world, America's pretty dang cool. They may not always like the guy in the office, or they may think that those Americans over there, thinking of the French Parisians, you know, the Americans over there with their tennis shoes. I don't like that. But they all want to come here. They want to see New York. They want to come here to Southern California and go and see the Hollywood sign. And they love it because I'm telling you, the American dream is a brand. And it's not a brand. It's not something that just can be given away. There is finite capacity in this economy of ours, for example, for labor. Controlled immigration, which is really legal immigration where you pick and choose who comes over, means that the government can look as a matter of policy at, well, how many skilled workers does our economy have room for before it affects, aka depresses wages? How many unskilled workers? Do we need more nurses? Maybe we need more lawyers. We never need more lawyers. Should probably start deporting lawyers. Not Sweet James, though. We're going to keep him no matter what. it works like that. This is how countries decide who they let in. Let me correct this. This is how smart countries decide who they let in. What happened in Europe, for example, with immigration, is that for a long time, politicians decided that they wanted to dehomogenize their countries. The Dutch, for example, they decided that they were a country that was too white, that was too Dutch, that was too Protestant. They did. This is in their, this is not, I'm not making this stuff up. This was in their, in the Liberal Party in the 60s had this in their manifesto. We want to multiculturalize our country. And it seemed to these young idealistic youths to be a fantastic idea. probably some of you listening, you go, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's not been a good thing in Holland. I promise you that. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying they should have thrown in a few extra criteria. Like, for example, I'm just gonna say, like, do you love Holland? Do you know what Holland is? Do you eat cheese? Do you like flat places with lots of cows where people ride bicycles? But you see a lot of these countries, Holland and Great Britain among them, who had colonies, felt very bad about leaving the colonies, felt some guilt there. And then, of course, wanted to mix things up and create multiculturalism. And in the process, lost their own culture because they let too many in too quickly. It is a problem. Trust me. And yeah, and then there's a whole voter thing. I'm going to get into that next. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
All right, are you being safe out there on the roads? There are a lot of drivers right now who are either experiencing food coma or relative anger syndrome. That's when you've spent a lot of time with your relatives that you haven't seen in a while, and they've made you very upset. Like Aunt Mildred telling you should lose weight. Not cool, Aunt Mildred. And then there's, of course, alcohol, which you've consumed in large quantities after letting out Aunt Mildred get on your nerves. There you have it. Any of those strings, or any three of those things, or all of them put together, worse yet, will not make you a good driver. You will cause an accident out there, and then some poor person will need to call Sweet James Bergner. Because their bumper's going to be hanging off the back of their car and they're going to be hurting. Maybe they broke a wrist because they were holding on to the steering wheel so tight when you hit them. I don't know. But you know what that person sure as heck isn't going to do? They're not going to call your insurance company. Because your insurance company just wants to save money. They're actually going to get you into trouble by not paying the claim quick enough, fast enough, and fair enough. So look, if you get into a car accident, if you are that person that's hurt, because of some bozo who's mad, drunk, or whatever, call Sweet James Bergner. Make sure you get a lawyer on your side that's going to take care of you and your interest. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rajofsky, back. Okay. Voter fraud, this is great. Voter fraud, the Democrats do not believe it exists. And let me, as prima facie evidence of this, this is evidence on its face for those of you not versed in legal mumbo jumbo, otherwise known as Latin. Google voter fraud, because I just did on Google. That's how you do it. If you Google voter fraud, you find that the first hit, there's top stories, then there's Twitter. Always throw in the Twitter. The very next thing is a link from the Brenner Center for Justice titled Myth of Voter Fraud. Okay. I am your friend. I am a common sense person. Look, even if you disagree with me, if you've listened long enough, I'm common sense. I'm going to tell you right now, it is easy to cheat when you go to vote. And why is that? I have to show more ID to pick up will call tickets at the frickin' opera. You know, they practically, last time I went to the Orange County Performing Arts Center, they wanted a DNA sample for me to pick up my tickets. I show up to vote and I go, hey, I am so-and-so. And they go, here you go, so-and-so, here's your ballot. I could walk up and look down at their list and pick up a ballot. And that's if I'm taking somebody else's ballot. But with provisional ballots, you register in some states, register day of. I mean, this is the type of voting where you don't need to show ID. You really don't need to show anything. You've just got to register by mail. You don't even need to be a real person. One person can register multiple people. And how many of these cases are prosecuted? None, ever, never. And you know why? Because it is a politically protected system that favors incumbent politicians. By and large, both parties, they've got gerrymandered districts, congressmen, they've got it all divided up, and it works. But gradually, the Democrats have been taking advantage of illegal immigration. And they are the party that promises amnesty, and they are the party that promises benefits, and they are the party that promises giveaways. And so they are the party that generally attracts voters who what? Who are here illegally. And the numbers, by the way, the numbers speak for themselves. Interestingly enough, what states Trump right now wants to do a top-to-bottom review of illegal immigration. Have you heard this? There's a voting commission that's being set up by the vice president. They want to look at voter rolls. They want to match things up. What states are fighting it? Democratic-controlled states. And it's not just because they oppose Trump. Trust me. It's because they don't want anyone looking under their skirts. They don't want somebody to come along and start matching up Social Security numbers. Shouldn't you have a Social Security number if you're voting? I'm just curious about that one. I think that's how it works. All right, don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, July the 3rd, rounding up the end of the show here. Got the fastest hour in radio, I swear. I think my entire opinion on immigration comes back to two things. One, we have a right to decide who we want in this country and who we don't want. It is, in other words, an exclusionary privilege. We should be allowed to not want certain types of people and to be able to exclude them. And when we talk about vetting, or Trump talks about extreme vetting, it comes down to one basic principle for me. And that is, I want people who love this country. First and foremost, I want people who have, I want somebody who has an idealized version of America. And you're going to say, well, Sam, we want immigrants who want to be here. Well, and I'm going to say, stop. That is a different thing entirely. I do not dispute that somebody who goes through a tremendous amount of personal sacrifice, and that the journey here, look, it's no easy pie getting into this country illegally. I mean, it's one thing if you overstay a visa and that type of thing. For the people that make it here across the border, it's tough. But they want to be here. But is it really for the love of America? It's something to consider. It really is. And then the other thing is, friends on the left always talk about diversity. We don't want people just from Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador. We want people from all over. We want a balance of people. We want Indians. We want Indonesians. We want the French. We want Germans. We'll even take a few Canadians. It's 4th of July tomorrow, so we can. When's Canada Day? Isn't it the 2nd? It is the 2nd. So we've missed it by a day. Point being is, I just want people here who love this country. When I was in Mexico. Remember, we talked about this. I was my first impression as I was driving into Mexico City. I usually take a different path when I go there, and I'd taken a different course into the city, a different street than I usually do, and I ended up on a section of Reforma Avenue that has all the big mansions, all the these are compounds, and I looked at these compounds and I saw these just giant walls everywhere. Enormous walls, 25-foot walls. You heard me talked about that. So, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, By the way, these politicians and former politicians that live here, some of whom we've heard on TV denouncing Donald Trump, being an evil bigot for wanting to build a wall. These are people who get to pick and choose who they let onto their premises. And a country, our country, is no different than someone's private compound. We are allowed to set the rules here. And we do it by common consensus through the democratic process. And that democratic process has to be maintained as well. We can't have illegals voting. We can't. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. And we want people who love this country. We do, first and foremost. All right. Tomorrow, 4th of July, be safe. Have lots of fun. I will be on at 7 p.m. Talking about my parents' immigration story, among other things. Have a great night. Always, always enjoy being with you folks. Really do. Tomorrow night at 7. Over and out.